I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs. I play video games.
News and Lemonade with your hosts, John DeLuna, XB, X-Chicken, Weebum,
damn right I am,
and Rob.
Here we go!
News and Lemonade.
Hey everybody, it's your old friend John DeLuna. Welcome to New Soundwave 94. We are barreling towards show 100. Oh, exciting. Exciting. Happy day. With me this week, new Rob, XV, and our favorite Peter, a.k.a. Weebum, our giant Peter of the van. Van Peter. Hey, Peter, did you feel the earthquake from this week?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Was it?
It was great.
I sure did.
Two thumbs up.
Yeah, two thumbs up. It was fantastic. It was just, it was wonderful, you know. Stuff swaying, nobody not knowing what's going on.
A double plus would panic again.
I didn't panic as much as I thought I would, really. Because there were other people around that they were like, it's all right.
Visiting from California. Yeah,
I was stuck in a creaking ancient house with my mother, who I could not have gotten out in time if things went bad. So I panicked pretty good.
It sounds justified
when you put it like that.
Yeah. Hey Rob, what state do you live in? Where do you live?
I am in Baltimore, Maryland, and apparently. Okay. From what I saw in the news, I am pretty much right in the path of where it hit the hardest. Mm. Maybe not quite in the really worst part, but bad enough that I'm amazed that nothing did shake off this old dump. So
yeah. I mean, you're not that far from me, so you know, the impact at your area was probably just as bad as here.
Yeah,
and I'm very surprised that it didn't get. It wasn't as bad. Thankfully, nobody was, you know, no bad injuries. It's just monetary damage. Yeah. Just buildings cracked.
I heard a food lion collapsed.
What collapsed?
A food lion.
Yeah.
I think it happens every time there's a tornado or anything.
I was going to say, it's not like it's a great loss to society or anything. But.
Actually, oddly enough, a low-level, like a one-story... like doctor's, center suite area, their roof collapsed and crushed the cars that were parked in front of it.
Hmm.
And I was scared, like, crapless, because that was about a mile away from where I live.
Oh.
So I was just like, oh, man. And I came home, and the only thing that fell over was, like, an empty box.
It's about the same here. What's really bizarre, though, is that my grandparents are maybe 50 miles from the epicenter of the thing, and they barely felt it. So
I find it pretty funny that I've met people. I have friends that say my entire office felt the earthquake, and I didn't feel a thing.
Well, doesn't the composition of the ground under you affect how strongly you feel an earthquake, regardless of the distance? I mean, obviously, right next door, you're going to feel it no matter what. But doesn't it affect how it transmits farther out?
I think it also depends on what you're. Like swaying side to side all the time. I mean, like, what were like
the chat thing seems to think that it wasn't plate tectonics, it was just a fat chick.
About five,
you know, would an epileptic person even notice if an earthquake happened?
Interesting.
Somebody made a joke that it is every Tuesday for Michael J. Fox.
Oh,
It was not my joke. It was funny, but I would never thought
it's fun. Or maybe for him, for like 20 seconds or whatever it was, the world stopped shaking. Like he synced up with the earthquake. Exactly.
There you go.
Yes. Okay. So, obviously, it was fun. Obviously, it's a video game podcast. We're going to talk about the Super Nintendo. It turned 20 this week. Unbelievable. Okay. And then news of the day. And then we're going to have a topic discussion on how only 10% apparently of gamers these days actually finish their games. So sad. 10 years ago, it was 20%. So we're seeing a steady decline. Okay, so first, guys, let's start with the Super Nintendo. The Super Nintendo turned allegedly 20 years old today. I will say this, Wikipedia and the internet in general really can't make up its mind on when the Super Nintendo came out. It was, the official launch date was September 9th, but there are newspaper ads here and there from 1991 advertising first shipments on August 23rd, which is this week. So we're going to go with this week. The Super Nintendo is obviously, I would say, pretty groundbreaking, or certainly one of the more notable consoles that ever came out, obviously hot on the heels of the Nintendo. And then obviously one of the launch titles, Super Mario World, is considered one of the greatest games ever. So I got to ask you guys, what are your thoughts and memories on the Super Nintendo? Obviously, did you have one? Probably. And is it a system that you fondly remember as, you know, one of Nintendo's finer moments, or is it glorified? What are your thoughts? Let's start with New Rob. Go, New Rob.
I would say it was one of Nintendo's finest moments, actually. It is, to this day, one of my favorite systems, which, of course, is why an awful lot of what I, you know, do on Flailthers ends up being Super Famicom games. I got it. I think it was 93, right about as Street Fighter II was about to come out. That was what made me decide. Really, some of my favorite games are still, to this day, on Super Nintendo. So many series really peaked there. Final Fantasy peaked there. I would say in 2D terms, Mario definitely peaked there. I can't really think of anything negative to say about the Super Nintendo. It's I love it.
Mm-hmm. XVE, do you have one?
I had one. I sold it a few years ago to pay for a digital camera after the first one I had broke. You do what you got to do, you know.
No, you make sacrifices.
I really did enjoy it.
Worst things that you could have done.
Yeah, like goat porn. But no, I really enjoyed the Super Nintendo while I had it, and you know, I still have emulation on the Wii. So it's not like it's completely gone from my life.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, you know, at that time, every Nintendo system that came out that wasn't called Virtual Boy was solid, you know.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Peter, what are your initial thoughts?
I have insanely fond thoughts of Super Nintendo. I had a Nintendo. I was a little too young to truly appreciate its awesomeness. So Super Nintendo, I do remember that the game that undoubtedly got the most play was Street Fighter II. I believe it was like Turbo, or the one, yeah, that you could put in the code that could give you like a boatload of more stars.
It sounds like probably Turbo.
For SNES, and I remember that, you know, we even had the Game Genie where we could cheat and we could, like, you know, select two characters, and then if you selected Vega, if each of you selected Vega, the game would just freeze. So we would all, it was fantastic.
Oh, that's quiet.
The game would just, like, you would try to do any of Vega's, like, special moves, like climb his gate in Spain, and it would just be like, you gotta redo it all. And he's like, that sucks.
The game, like, no, I can't do that.
Yeah, it's like, cannot handle this. But it was, I have very fond memories of Super Nintendo. It is, and after that was 64, right? Is that right?
Yeah. If you ignore the Virtual Boy, yes.
Right. Well, yeah, home console, not the ones that'll give you brain damage. Definitely. I mean, it is one of the last, you know, consoles of the great consoles of the 2D era, and is definitely. I still have mine, so once in a while,
nice.
I'll pop it
Me
in.
Too.
Good on you, sir. Good on you. Hey, the chat is blowing up, actually, on this topic. Everybody's listing all their favorite games, so a lot of people say, you know, a lot of people had Killer Instinct, Tournament Fighter, the Ninja Turtles fighting game. Everybody loves Mario World, Legend of Zelda, Super Metroid, obviously, right? Super Metroid.
Oh, yeah.
Tremendous. The launch titles, as you may or may not remember, I definitely remember, for whatever reason, the launch titles for Super Nintendo were Super Mario World, F-Zero, Pilot Wings, Gradius 3, and Sim City. For some reason, those, like, stick in my head.
You actually remember that?
That's yeah, I mean, I remembered all those except for Gradius, I think.
I didn't know F-Zero, I didn't know F-Zero shipped with it. God.
was it in a bundle?
I know Mario was, but I
Mario,
didn't...
I think, was the only bundle. But yeah. F-Zero was definitely a launch title. I mean, it only had like five, at least in the United States, it had five launch titles, which back in the day was pretty common, right?
Yeah.
The number of launch titles. It was like a handful of games came out for a system.
And the funny thing is, most of those were first party. Actually, all of them are, right?
Well, you know what the thing is about these launch titles were. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but the Super Nintendo was sort of positioned kind of gimmicky when it came out because they tried to show the technology of the pseudo 3D, the scaling, the kind of the pseudo 360 effect that they could do on games. So like F-Zero and Super Mario World kind of forced those special effects on you. They didn't affect the gameplay, at least not in Super Mario. In F-Zero, probably a little bit. But the Super Nintendo, you know, was trying to, like, show off its technology in those games. Pilot Wings, you know, the pseudo 360, or I guess it was proper 360. I don't know. Anyway, sort of gimmicky. The launch titles were sort of gimmicky, and they were obviously saved by the fact that Super Mario World is so good.
Yeah. And the thing, it was, like, interesting enough because it was, like, you were getting thrown off by the, you know, super... you know, semi the 3D thing. And then you were like, what am I going to do with these four extra buttons?
It's amazing
so
how
quickly
games...
the controller? Speaking of...
Well,
that's on that.
It's amazing how quickly games spread out to fill those extra buttons, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, it's one of my favorite controllers, too. If you'll notice, every... current system, if you count the Wii Classic controller, uses some variation on the Super Nintendo button layout.
Yep. Yeah,
actually, Nintendo started a lot of those button layouts, right? Like the Z button with the trigger button with the 64 and everything as well. But I got so many blisters on my thumb from playing.
Oh, absolutely.
On that sucker. Yeah. Oh my god! It would be like you would know that I was playing that game with my cousins the whole weekend because I would go back to school on the Monday and I would just have this big blister on my thumb.
I think the calluses have finally gone away. It took
Yeah, I think mine are here forever. Just an extension of my bones at this point. So the chat brings up a couple people in chat think that the Super Nintendo actually had too many buttons, which is interesting.
I'm sure coming off of, you know, regular Nintendo and a Game Boy where that used the exact same control layout, I'm sure coming off of that, those extra buttons are like, what the hell?
Right.
How am I supposed to use that many fingers at once?
Right. I can't handle this.
I think, though, when you get to the, you know, about the PlayStation 1 controller, which is, you know, another... extension of the Super Nintendo layout. I think that's about as far as you can go with buttons. I think anything more than that, and there's just too much to try and keep track of. You're going to bump into something you don't want to hit.
So you're suggesting that putting a full keyboard on a controller is probably not a good thing to look forward to.
Yeah.
That's good. Hello, Atari Jaguar. Hello. So moving on real quickly, so maybe Nintendo listens to this podcast, maybe they watch this podcast, because there are rumors about that the 3DS could be undergoing an update already, a redesign, if you will. It looks like...
something a lot like that just recently.
Yeah, you know, this sounds familiar. So, according to the rumors, it could be soon revamped with a second analog stick, a lessened focus on 3D as a gimmick... perhaps a new name because it's going to be updated and look different, so maybe they'll tweak the name too. We will see. Of course, the $80 price drop that took place about two weeks ago, has done wonders for sales,
really?
But probably not wonders for profit, right? So,
well, it's like we said that time, though. It doesn't matter if they're not making a lot of profit on the machine because they can't sell you games if you don't have the machine.
Right.
Yeah.
And they can't sell you games if they have no games. What a, it's a tough one.
That's
tough
more Sony's MO, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It is. I don't know. I guess Nintendo thought that sounded good. Let's try it.
Well, I mean, you know, they sold 7 million PSPs in like 7 years. So obviously they were doing something correctly.
It's a slow burn, Peter. It's a slow burn. okay, one more little bit of news before we kind of jump around to something we can sink our teeth into. So the Vita, PSP Vita, is apparently going to have more RAM than the PS3. I still may be dumb enough to buy this thing. This doesn't sway me.
Great.
This doesn't sway me, but I'm still stupid for wanting it or thinking about it. Also, it looks like possibly the PS3 may get a little bit of a redesign. We'll see about that. We've already gotten one redesign, the Slim. Certainly, Sony's home, the social space that they've built on PSN, is undergoing all sorts of updates and changes. We may or may not get a hardware update before the PS3 goes bye-bye, but I forget. New Rob, I think, do you have a PS3? I can't remember. Do you?
I do, but I've never actually used home.
Do not. That's all I have to say. Do not use home. It's creepy as hell. It's really hard to figure out. So, okay, so here's my one and only experience with home. So home is the social experiment, I guess. You can call it that if you're like a marketing guy for PlayStation Home. So instead of, having like a normal interface, what you do is, unwillingly, you have to create an avatar. And as your avatar, your little person, you have to walk around in different environments and interact with stuff that is symbolism for the things you want to do. So if you want to like watch live streaming events, you have to walk your avatar like to a movie theater and go stand in front of the movie theater, movie screen, and watch the movie screen. And then it'll ask you, do you want to go full screen and like watch the stream? And you're like, yes, I wanted to 20 minutes ago.
What they've done is take the 1991 view of virtual reality and actually done that.
That is absolutely
virtually
true.
What they've done is recreated the mundane parts of your life. It's like, yeah, I can do like, that on a regular day. Like,
yes.
I can go to Blockbuster and rent this movie and then go full screen when I go home. Why would I?
What's also awesome is like, you know, like I said, when you fire it up, you have to like create your avatar and just in the confusion, like, cause I didn't know what was happening. My avatar is, I believe it's a white 20 something woman. So that's reflective. That's reflective of me. She's wearing jeans and like, a basic top. She's not even fashionable. What the hell? So that's Sony's home. Suck it. Not fun. Not good. Not good. Okay. Well, before we go to break, one more news story, and then I will promote our contest. So Japanese retailers are reducing shelf space for the 360. Microsoft has responded. They're not pulling out. They say, we're reducing shelf space, but we're not pulling out of the 360 market. Oh, no. We're just, it's a challenging market. They're up against very strong competition.
What they should do is make a 360 model exclusively for Japan that's 3 times wider.
Yes. Yes. Or has, like, an anime girl on the side. How about that?
Fantastic.
Yeah. Anime girl 360-chan. How about that? That would be awesome. That would be so awesome. And it talks to you, maybe? Maybe you could marry.
I'm sure the fan art at least exists, John.
Yes. Yes.
So, it already does.
Okay, so this brings up the question. The Kinect. Now, this leads me to talk about the Kinect a little bit. So the 360 has never been like a huge hit in Japan. It's got its niches. It's got some fans, like fighting game players in Japan usually have a 360 just because that's where people play. For the most part, though, it's been kind of a dud in Japan, relatively speaking. And so obviously the Kinect has not like really taken hold there. The Kinect has not taken hold here. So, I mean, I'll ask you guys, right at this point, is the Kinect completely forgotten? Should we consider the Kinect kind of a failed bit at this point?
I forgot it existed.
No, I disagree. I think the Kinect helped boost a lot of people's interest in the Kinect. It's been a little lackluster in terms of, like... I think in terms of games, it's a little lackluster, but... I think the Kinect definitely... I mean, when it first came out, at least, it if you compare that... I mean, I don't know if you really want to compare that between the Kinect and the Move, but, you know, the Kinect definitely got more publicity and more people definitely bought it. And,
and also, more, it was stupid.
Right, and there's more of like a, you know, because the Kinect, you could do a lot of things. Like, they're coming out, I think, tomorrow or something with Fruit Ninja Kinect. It's pretty sweet, right? So... versus all the peripheral stuff that you'd have to buy for the Nintendo, this you just get, you know, the camera and the infrared, and you're pretty much good to go. So, I think the developers right now, they're just still kind of trying to figure it out a little bit. But I think it's gaining traction in the States, but in Japan, you know, they've always had issues trying to get traction there.
Is there an Angry Birds port for Xbox, an official one?
On Xbox Live, I'm not sure. I want to say
that'd
yes.
That'd be fantastic, wouldn't it? If you could
it's
just
probably
a
also
a Kinect version of Angry Bird, where you're actually making the motion of throwing the bird.
That could work.
Oh, that would be awesome. Or you have to be the bird. You have to throw yourself.
Yes, the strength with which you leap across the room in front of the Kinect judges.
Yeah,
that's awesome. How that determines how successful you are.
Yeah. And for the chat people, I have posted a link to the most embarrassing Kinect game, horse racing. So you'll have to watch the video to believe.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Hey, Rob, were you going to say something?
I was just going to say, I think that one thing that is probably not helping the Kinect in Japan is that it's my understanding that you have to have a fairly large room to make it work properly.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
And Japan is not really known for, you know, spacious living accommodations.
Well, yeah, I mean, don't most Japanese people live in walk-in closets?
Pretty close.
I mean, you know, most, especially in Tokyo, they're definitely not in the most spacious places.
Yeah.
But Xbox has always struggled there.
That's because an Xbox takes up a lot of real estate in a walk-in closet.
Well, it's also because, you know, unlike the States, you know, Japan has a lot of Japanese pride. You know, they like to purchase Japanese products more than anything. And
so naturally, Nintendo and Sony would be more favored.
Right, but the weird thing is nobody's buying Sony, so where are they
Maybe you think Sony is sold out.
Right.
Hey, guys, before we go to break... you guys said it. Before we go to break, we are giving away on the Transformers Radio Network, we are giving away a gaming mouse, two gaming mice, that are branded Transformers. So if you watch New Soundwave, if you like RFC, you're going to love this contest. All we got to ask you to do is tell us what's your favorite Transformer. That could be your favorite Transformer character, your favorite Transformers toy, your favorite Transformers piece of merchandise, whatever. What's your favorite Transformer? The character, the robot, the legend, whatnot. You can tell us on Facebook. You can tell us on YouTube, Twitter, Google+. You can email us at contact@tfradio.net. Winners for both mice will be announced on September 14th. And on that show, we'll also share some of the favorite Transformers that were submitted. Your stories, if you will. These gaming mice are tremendous. They are brought to us from Death Adder. If you're watching the video, you'll see exactly what they look like. They are a Bumblebee yellow and a Megatron silver. They have lights. They pulse. The Transformer and Decepticon symbols pulse. They are super fast, built for gaming. They're also really good if you're... you know, doing any kind of design work, anything that requires like quick movement, or if you're just really fast at browsing the web, you're going to want to enter this contest. So again, just tell us what your favorite Transformer is. Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Google+, or email us, and we will announce the winner on September 14th. Now, when we come back on New Soundwave, of course, our topic of the day will be why are only 10% of gamers actually finishing their games, what's going on, and then we'll also talk a little bit about StarCraft II, the latest fad. StarCraft II knows no boundaries. We'll tell you about the crazy places that people are playing StarCraft II these days. This is New Soundwave.
You can hear our show on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones. On demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
We're back. So, first of all, good news if you like Sonic CD. And if you don't like Sonic CD, what is wrong with you? It is coming to Xbox Live. Oh, yeah. It's going to be playable at PAX. We have no other information at this time other than the awesome part, which is Sonic CD is coming to Xbox Live. Okay, Blizzard is rebooting Blizzard Defense of the Ancients. It's a mod for StarCraft II. Looking forward to that. Speaking of StarCraft II, guys, what do you think about this? So according to the Wall Street Journal, a wave of sports bars are setting up StarCraft II streams on the big screens around their taverns, their bars, in order to bring in patrons who obviously traditionally don't frequent sports bars, to say the least. What do you think? I mean, is esports the real deal? Is this a sign that, like, all, you know, at some point we're going to have, like, bars for esports?
Yeah, JD kind of seems sold on the idea. I can't really see it, but, you know.
Do you see this more as, like, kind of like a gimmick because StarCraft II is kind of hot right now?
It does sound pretty gimmicky when you get right down to it, doesn't it?
I mean, put it this way. We're still at a point where, you know, we read a story like this and we kind of snicker at the, you know, the part of the story where it says, you know, to bring in patrons that don't usually frequent a sports bar. And, you know, we all, like, picture what StarCraft II, a herd of StarCraft II fans are going to look like rolling into Buffalo Wild Wings.
They're not gonna
look like the Cleveland Browns fans in the next booth. Right. Maybe they will. I don't know. I mean, you know. But also, I gotta ask this. I'm gonna have to talk to JD about this. So obviously, with like sports, traditional sports, you don't really like need sound. You can kind of be in like the chaos of a place, and if it's on a big screen, you can kind of like get it, take it in. I don't know if StarCraft II is like that. Like I don't know if you can just like casually watch that while eating your, you know, wings, and, you know, having the chaos of like a bar going on at the same time. I don't know. I don't know how that works. But hey, people in the chat think it's a good idea. It sounds like a good idea. We're getting like
maybe the people in the chat just want to be able to go to a sports bar without having to deal with the bothersome sports.
Yes. Possibly.
Yeah.
I mean,
fried sampler.
I think what they're doing is, you know, during the summer, there was not a lot of sports really going on, you know, with the lockout for both the NBA and the NFL. There was, like, a bit of dearth of information. And there was actually on, I think it was, like, Joystick or something, they suggested that because it started in Seattle, it makes sense because Seattle is also known as a dearth of sports teams, right? The Mariners suck. The Supersonics are part of, they moved to Oklahoma City. The Seahawks have been, you know, kind of okay here and there, but more or less, with the lockout, nothing really big going on. So, this is just another way for them to pull in revenue. And true. In that article, it was like 40 to 50 people a week, 40 to 50 patrons, more than they would normally get, which is, you know, 40, 50 more drunk geeks is a lot better than, you
know, that's a lot of beer, buddy.
Yeah,
exactly. A lot of cheap beer. Okay, well, I mean, we'll see if it takes hold. If there's any game that's popular enough to pull it off, I guess it's StarCraft II. 35 million people now have an Xbox Live account, so a lot of people will be playing Sonic CD. I would be remiss if I didn't mention this week, Third Strike, Street Fighter 3 Third Strike, went on sale on Xbox Live and PSN. If you're a fighting fan at all, I highly recommend checking it out. If you're a new fighting fan, like brand new to fighting games, I highly recommend you don't check this one out. It's a little complicated for a first timer.
Okay.
Work your way up to it. It may be like over a decade old, but it's a little meaty. It's a little complex. Yeah, you might want to try something a little slower first.
Well, I understand they have added some new training modes to try and help people get up to speed.
Yeah, so there's tons of training modes in it. There are, like, trials that are very popular in current fighting games. So you have to do all that. Lots of achievements. Lots of stuff that a one-player player can do. Oh, and Virtual Fighter is out, too. Is that right, producer? Brian's in my ear. Oh, no. Brian's making a sick joke. Brian's actually imagining if Virtual Fighter was still relevant and thus would be on.
Virtual Fighter.
So sad. Yeah, Virtual
Fighter. There's a pizza place in town, and their game room is full of games from, like, 15 years ago, and they still have a Virtual Fighter machine.
Oh, nice. Like, Virtua Fighter 1?
I don't remember. I haven't been there in several months.
Virtua Fighter 1 would be so bad, I would play it, like, for an hour. That would be so great. Virtua Fighter 2. Oh, Virtua Fighter.
I played Virtua Fighter 2 a lot in the arcade. That was pretty fantastic.
What was the... do any of you guys remember in... So, I think it was made by Sega, I think. But in the arcades, there was, like, this weird 3D... I guess it was a fighter... and the cabinet was sort of circular, but it was like projected. It wasn't 3D. It was like just projected like holograms. And it was, does this sound familiar? It was kind of, you could almost like reach in and put your hand through the holograms. Am I crazy? It was a fighter, I swear to God.
I don't remember the fighter version. There was a game that, it may have been called Time Traveler. It was kind of set up in the Dragon Slayer style.
Maybe that's what I think.
Yeah, that's what I remember, is a system like that set up with a, like, filmed footage on a display like you're describing.
It had
a dragon. It was a Dragon Slayer type game where you had to push the right direction or right button at the right time to avoid dying.
Yeah, and I want to say there was a fighting, like, I guess essentially probably just, you know, new software for the same cabinet or something like that that also happened to be a fighter. Anyway, I will make a note and we'll talk about it, or I'll find it for next week. I swear I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy about that, at least. Okay, so let's wrap up the show with our conversation on a very fascinating article. According to CNN, only 10% of people these days actually finish their video games. And 10 years ago, the VP of marketing, formerly of Capcom, this executive said, you know, about 10 years ago, it was twice that. It was 20% of gamers. Before we get into the conversation, one of the interesting things that is in this article, one of the possibilities they bring up that we can talk about is, the average gamer is getting older. And right now, the average age of a gamer is, if you can believe it, 37. So it's not a kid's world anymore. And 10 years ago, the average age of a gamer was in their mid to late 20s. So you can see the average of all of us is like aging as time goes on. So these people,
basically, it's just all the same gamers that just keep aging and no new ones are coming yet.
Right. So when you think about it, the average age of a gamer is almost 40 years old. And so they, you know, obviously if you're older, you have less time to do anything.
Plus you're a little more senile and you might not remember.
Yes. Or you may swear you beat that game and you feel shrink-wrapped. Right. So, okay. So guys, what do you think? I mean, what do you think of something like this? When you hear 10% of gamers finish their games, 90% do not.
Okay, I will tell you the first thing that came to mind when I read the headline in the show notes, which is that it's something the article seems to cite too, which is that the multiplayer games, you don't really have to actually finish the game. You know, you play through whatever might be required to unlock the multiplayer or get the weapon power up, whatever, and then you go online and that's all you do with the game from that point.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I mean, those kind of games are so much more prevalent now than they were 10 years ago because of the way the internet's evolved.
Yeah. Plus, another factor, I think, is if you really don't want to struggle and suffer all the way through a game and see how it comes out, you have YouTube now.
That's a good point, too. I like that.
That is something that they cited as well. It's like, it's so prevalent that it's like, oh, I want to know how this game ends. So I'll just play it. I won't even worry about it.
I don't have to keep dying at the same spot 50 times. I can just go look this up and get on with my life.
Exactly. You know, actually, a few years ago on G4, they actually had a program that was the cinematic sequences and in some cases the endings for video games. They called it Cinematech.
That's right. I remember that. Yeah.
So, you know, before YouTube was YouTube, there was that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's interesting.
So I'm not surprised by this because I know two people that I can think of right now that have games that are still in their shrink wraps from like the Nintendo 64 era.
Wow.
Okay, I had a coworker who actually let me borrow his Mass Effect game, which I beat. He was like, "Do you want to take Mass Effect 2 out of a shrink wrap?" And he actually has another game that is still in a shrink wrap where the servers are getting shut down in a couple months.
Oh.
Oops.
Wow.
So you better hurry.
So he's like, I better hurry. And I also know someone who played Black Ops multiplayer and actually waited about a good 6 months to actually play the first person, like the single player campaign.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Call of Duty is probably a really good percentage of the people that say, hey, I don't finish games, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. While I still more or less play the one-to-one game. But I don't jump around. I don't like jumping around games. It kind of confuses me. It's very easy for me to be confused.
I like to bounce around. I'm probably playing two or three different things right now. Not, you know, this moment, but you get the idea.
That'd be cool if you could, though.
Yeah, really. but when I get good and stuck and frustrated, I like being able to move on to something else. And, you know, I'm in that 90% because there are an awful lot of things where I never get back to it. I get distracted by shiny objects, or I decide it's just not worth my time to go back and suffer through that one jump I can't make or whatever.
And yet you still slogged all the way through Romancing Saga.
Yes, I did.
Poor soul.
Never gonna let you forget that one.
No. Poor well, up soul. To the very end, I actually failed to finish it. Go me.
Nice. So what is the furthest that you guys have gone into a game and never finished it for whatever reason? Just like, whatever. Never got around to it.
Okay, I got a good one. The Superman Returns game. Uh-huh. I think I got the PS2 version, yeah, the PS2, and I could not actually get past the training stage they set up for you to learn how to play the game.
Because it was such crap, right? It was so bad, right?
Yeah.
It was just like, I've had enough of this damn
What made
game.
You get that
I've
game
had enough
week?
Of... Yeah, what...
I had money to waste, and it was like $30.
Okay, all right.
But in my own defense, I did come back years later with a cheat device and skip past that training stage.
Oh.
Good idea.
Nice.
That's pretty much my recourse if I get stuck and I have the option available. Okay, I'm just going to go around that part.
Yeah. I have two games in recent memory that I didn't finish. One was True Crime Streets of New York because there was a bug and you can't actually beat the game.
Good reason.
You can actually never nice beat game. This one boss, and it's terrible. It was very far the game too, and I was like suffering through it anyway. and Gears of War 2 because I just got bored of it.
Mm.
Which is very interesting because Gears of War was so like a highly lauded, you know, such a heavily applauded game that I just couldn't finish it. I feel a little bad, but just didn't care anymore.
I guess Gears 1, everybody seems to love Gears 1. I've heard more than one person say Gears 2 was just not good for them. I mean, they just didn't like it. So, you know. Hey, Rob, do you have any games come to mind?
Well, the aforementioned Romancing Saga 2, that last boss is murderous. There are seven major bosses you have to kill to finish the game. And in its final form, the last boss gets one attack from each of them a round.
And oh my god.
What? Yep,
it is absolutely the hardest boss fight I have ever played, and of course I'm playing it in Japanese. I'm not in full control of all the commands. I have a pretty good idea of what I'm doing, but not perfect. And I must have tried that 30 times over the course of 2 days. Never got it. Thank goodness, since I was writing it for Flailthers, thank God somebody actually beat the thing and posted the end on YouTube, so I had a cop-out. Bless you, whoever you were. You saved my sanity.
And we go back again to people don't finish games because they can go watch it on YouTube.
Right, and exactly. then Rob pretends that he actually finished the game. This is what I did after, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and so happened. Maybe I should have known better, but I told the truth.
Nice, nice. The only one that I can think of really is, I forgot which Pokemon it was, but I think it was one of the SP ones where I got to the final four, whatever, the top four trainers.
Yeah, yeah.
Didn't level up properly or enough, and like after, but I mean, I also wasn't interested in going back and just like grinding out, leveling up properly. And then after like 5 days of the final four, I was like, I think I'm done with this. And then you know, like a month later, like then you like a couple weeks later, you think maybe I should go back and beat that game. And then it's like 4 months later, you think, maybe I should go back and beat that game. And then you forget about that game. So it's sad. Pokemon, if you don't level up, if you don't grind it out and, like, kind of over-level up a little bit at the end of Pokemon, Pokemon can be pretty rough.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty rough. Pretty cruel. It is a cruel mistress. It is a cruel mistress, Pokemon.
It's definitely not a game that you're supposed to rush your way through the story with.
No.
I know, it's not for speed players.
It's the only way that I could have beaten the final trainers. I cheated. There was no way I would have beaten them. It was one of the few games that I actually cheated. I rarely cheat in video games, except Street Fighter when we use the game Genie. But I cheated my ass off. I like leveled all my Pokemon up to 99, and I beat their ass.
Oh, nice! Like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. Hey, to close this out, Weapon X in the chat says that Adam's Family 2 for Super NES was hard to beat. I want to point that out just for the fact that somebody on this earth played Adam's Family 2. Super Nintendo. Oh. That's what makes that statement notable, Weapon X.
Right.
You know what game
absolutely.
I could never beat? Maniac Mansion.
Maniac Mansion was like just a really weird game. It was one of those games where I think like you either got it, like understood what to do and what was happening, or you didn't.
Yeah, I
didn't. And if you didn't, you know, you're at like SOL.
I kept getting stuck in the damn jail. It's like, how do I get out of here?
I don't know if I like solved like one puzzle in that game. I just like, you know, fired it up and stared at the screen thinking, what is happening?
Yep.
Is this a game or a dream?
Adventure games like that are notoriously difficult. Long ago played a text adventure, the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy text adventure game for the PC. And there is a puzzle that to get the Babel fish, the fish that lets you translate alien languages and understand what the hell's going on around you. And that puzzle was made to be so sadistically difficult that if you sent them a screenshot of getting the fish, they would actually send you a t-shirt that said, "I solved the Babel fish puzzle." Wow. I played it long after that time, but I never did solve the puzzle. I looked up the solution at one point after I'd played it, and it made no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, you know what? If a game's that hard, maybe you should rethink it.
I would have.
Yeah. Well, here's the quitting. Quitting is what real men do.
Sometimes quitting is not a bad thing.
I think on that point, we're going to quit this show. So that does it for New Sound Wave 94. Hey, just as a reminder, send us, email us. Put it on Facebook. Put it on Google Plus. Just tell us. Email contact at tfradio.net. Tell us your favorite Transformer, and you will be entered to win one of two Death Adder gaming mice. They are awesome. There's a Bumblebee yellow and a Megatron silver. And if you win, you will be most happy because these mice are really great. Super fast, super high quality. And did I mention they're branded Transformers? They're awesome. So, until next week, I am John DeLuna for the cast, for Peter, for XV, for Rob. This is New Soundwave, and we will see you next week.
2-1-0! Game over!
Mother! You're alive!
Too bad, you will die.
This has been New Soundwave. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Check out all our videos at tfvideo.net. New Soundwave is a Radio Free Cybertron production.